Man, I am so glad to see you guys out tonight. You know, we may not be a big crowd, but we are a big crowd with big hearts. And I don't know about you, but I came ready to receive. I'm so excited about what God's going to say tonight. I can't wait to hear what he says myself, you know. And so it's, amen, and it's good to see everybody here tonight. I want to thank Pastor Rowe and the worship team. Don't they do an awesome job? Amen. Amen. Not only do they worship, I mean play well and sing well, but they worship. I mean, you can't look at that team up there without wanting to join in with whatever secret they're in on. It's like they're in the secret club up there, man, and they're getting in on things that they want every one of us to get in on as well. And so I appreciate that. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you so, so much. Lord, the cure for anxiety is gratefulness. The cure for anxiety about tomorrow is gratefulness for all of our yesterdays. Lord, you've gotten us through every one of our yesterdays. You've blessed us in ways that if we were to try to count them, we couldn't. And Lord, and you are one that says your kingdom has no end, meaning what you did do, you are doing, and you would continue to do. So Lord, we're grateful. Grateful for every blessing, every time you touched us. Every need that you provided, every sickness that you healed, every bondage that you delivered us from. Lord, for our kids, for our wives, for our livelihoods. Lord, we're just so, so grateful for you tonight. And we would ask that you would open your word to us in such a way as we won't hear it with our physical ears. But we'll hear it with our spiritual ears. And that we'll hear in faith. And that we'll hear the word that's within the word. Because it's that word, Lord, that will change our lives. Lord, and all of us, me being one of the prime candidates, continue to need to be changed. To be more and more just like you. Your word promises that Jesus came and lived the life to represent the kind of life that we could live. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to align our lives with his so that we can get in on all the grace, all the glory that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. And in a moment, we'll start reading from verse 26. I've been very moved the last couple of days as I've been making it a practice every morning, getting up and going and walking and praying for about 45 minutes. Interchanging praying in English with praying in the Spirit. I don't know if everyone in this room has the ability to pray in the Spirit, but what it does is it brings things into your hearts and minds that only God knows. It's like the springboard to greater prayer, to more powerful prayer. You start out praying about, you know, don't let my wife burn my toast this morning. And the next thing you know, you're praying for the souls of people that you know. And you're just not praying for them. You're feeling for them. Yes. And when you get into the Spirit, it's you just don't see what he sees. You feel what he feels. And when you feel what he feels, it motivates you, it moves you to do something. And in the midst of it, God will give you a word, a prophetic word that's either for you to change you, or it's for someone to change them. Lots of times it's both. As it changes you, it's then released from you to change other people. And that's been happening a lot in the last 2 or 3 weeks as I've been making this my practice. And I just began to understand the power of the prophetic word. And so I want to talk about that tonight. I believe in the spirit of prophecy. I believe in the prophetic word. The prophetic word is where God lets us say something. Well, first know something and say something that only he knows. And it does something to you. Because, and you know it's from him because it feels right in your heart. And it's not even so much that you see the evidence of it, but you already have the evidence of it before you even see it. It's like from that moment on, you just know everything's going to be all right. You know, it may have to work out incrementally, but you see the end. And you start rejoicing, and yet it's like you haven't crossed the finish line yet, but you're celebrating like you have. And because when God speaks, it's already done. We just got to work it out. And don't focus in on the working it out, because that's the Spirit's job. Just focus in on the fact that it's already done. And whether you see it today or tomorrow or next week, you know you're going to see it. You just know it, you know, down in your knower. Everybody know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know how you know. People, you just know that you know that you know. I've shared a lot of people, you know, I never was raised in church, never read the Bible, and I got saved, and I got put in the county. Next day, I turned myself in and went into the county jail, and I was telling everybody I got saved. And they said, well, and I didn't know any scripture, none at all. And they said, well, how do you know you got saved? I said, I was there when it happened. I just knew I was saved. I didn't know how I knew. I couldn't put any verse or chapter to it. I not only knew I was going to heaven, but I knew that God was going to take care of everything until that day when I get to heaven, that it's not only going to be a heavenly place, but it was going to be a heavenly journey to that heavenly place. And I was so grateful for it. So the prophetic word is very, very important. And a lot of people, a lot of Christians love when prophets come in and give personal prophecies. The Lord has anointed me at different times. I remember being up in New England at a church up there, and the spirit of prophecy just came on me. And afterwards, and I don't know if, and you can't make this happen. It's not a switch you can turn on or turn off. It's when God does it, and you just have enough courage to flow in it. And when it was over, you know, I was going to pray for people like I normally do, but the spirit of prophecy got on me. And I started seeing things about the people, things that I couldn't have known unless God showed me. It was almost like it wasn't. I couldn't count the change in anybody's pocket. I know there are some people that have that kind of anointing, you know, to boost somebody's faith, you know, because they're a little skeptical. He says, well, you got 37 cents in your right-hand pocket, you know, a quarter, a dime, and 2 pennies, you know. And all of a sudden they pull it up and they go, wow, how'd you know that? Well, he didn't, but God did. I mean, God knows everything. But it was, and I was prophesying things for an hour, and it was powerful. And then started receiving letters. Back then they didn't have email, letters from people who said all of the things that I said came true. So, and in that meeting, there was probably the normal crowd of about 100 people. So they invited me back 6 months later. But mainly they invited me back because they wanted to experience the spirit of prophecy again. And the pastor even told me, he said, man, he said, there's going to be a gigantic crowd. And sure enough, there was about 300 people. They had to put out extra chairs. I mean, that'll put pressure on somebody. You know, they were all there to see me perform. And there wasn't any switch that I could turn, you know, on, you know. I prayed, Lord, do it again, you know. But God had a different agenda that night than what the pastors or even the people were. And I wanted to bless the people. I knew why they were there. And so the pressure was on me so much. And when you get that kind of pressure, you can either do the right thing or you can do the wrong thing. And I started out doing the wrong thing. I did. I tried to prime the pump. I tried to make something happen. And you can't make anything happen. You can just make room for it to happen. And so I started giving prophecies like my little children, and, you know, I said five or six things, and none of them were from God. People were clapping. Some people said, hey, that was for me, and maybe God inadvertently used my insecurity to speak to somebody, because God can use a donkey. I mean, he can do anything, he can speak through anything. But all of a sudden I stopped and I said, listen, I'm sorry. I said, I know you came here tonight because of what happened 6 months ago, and maybe it will happen, but I can't make it happen. And disregard everything I just said for the last 5 minutes. That wasn't God, that was me. It was me and my flesh, so please forgive me. And then when I said that, the anointing came on me. And a word that I didn't even had prepared came. And the word, just the word itself, began to do things that nobody left that room that night disappointed, though I did not give one personal prophecy. But nobody left because God still spoke to people in a prophetic way. I'm involved with a brother, Charles Simpson, and they used to put out New Wine magazine, and they had the tape of the month. And somebody decided to listen through all the tapes. And I probably listened to every tape they ever put out, which are thousands, you know, because I always wanted to sharpen my axe. But somebody, and back then they would tape the whole service, the worship, you know, everything. And so somebody went through it and started writing down some of the prophecies that weren't quite God prophecies. And they put a list together, and they were called prophecy bloopers. You know, people who were sincere, who wanted God to speak through them, and would get up there, because it was in the midst of the heyday of the charismatic renewal back in the 70s and early 80s. And so they put a list together, and I just want to read a few of these, because we serve a perfect God, but we're imperfect people. And these, I'm not reading these to make fun of anybody, because I believe the sincerity of the heart of every one of them, but they are pretty funny. I mean, because you have an imperfect person trying to speak for a perfect God. And God doesn't mind. He'll use every imperfection that we... He's the only person that I know that can take an imperfect person, use them in an imperfect way, and produce a perfect result. Only God could do that. And so... one guy got up and he says, this was his prophecy, he says, if this people will not repent, then I, the Lord their God, will write Michelob on their door. He, He meant to say Ichabod. That's what we would call Freudian slip. He was probably thinking about the football game and the beverage that he wanted, you know. So he says, I'm going to write Michelob on the door. Another guy said, thus saith the Lord, why do these people sit around on their cans and do nothing? For you do not know that my word... No, for do you not know that my word has been around for God knows how long? I mean, God's out there saying, I know it's been around a long time. I just don't know how long it's been. Another guy said, yea, my people, that is if you are my people. I would say to you, fear not, for the Lord your God knows that you fear some things and you fear sometimes. You know, sometimes I'm a little afraid myself. But boy, I sure hope that wasn't true. Well, I know it's not true. Another guy got up there and said, yea, my people, as far as I know, I have nothing against you. As far as I know. One guy got up there, and he was trying to do what I was doing that night, try to pump a little bit, you know, prime the pump, you know, a little bit. And so he got up there, and he said, yay, saith the Lord. Yes, yay, saith the Lord. Surely, yay, saith the Lord. Yay, saith the Lord. Yay, saith the Lord. Oh, me. Yay, saith the Lord. Yes, yay, saith the Lord. Yay, saith the Lord. This person walked around the preacher, looked at him and said, brother, I've been yaying and yaying and the Lord hasn't said anything yet. One last one. Got one guy got up and said, yay, my people, I am in... I love this one. Yay, my people, I am not in this place. A few minutes later, another guy got up and said, yea, my people. No, he said again, yea, my people, really? I'm not in this place. After 15 minutes later, my people, you think I'm kidding. I'm not in this place. The prophetic word is so powerful that the enemy will do everything he can to discredit it. But when it's a real prophetic word, the Bible says you cannot do anything against the truth. You can only do it for the truth. And so truth stands by itself. We don't need to add anything to it. It will set us free. It'll meet all our needs. The truth is the truth. So I want to talk about the prophetic word, and I want to talk tonight in the context. I want to teach you from the angel Gabriel's encounter with Mary. It is the first prophetic word that God spoke, and as a result, Jesus was birthed. And so there's just some things in this text of Scripture that I want to share with you that will help all of us, because I want more and more. I love it when Pastor Rowe begins to sing prophetically. I don't know if you know that's what that is. I mean, when she just starts, I mean, she's speaking what God is saying, you know, and she's singing it, and you could tell it's moving you, you know, It's not like she's reading from a script up here, you know. It's just she's flowing in the Spirit. And you've got to believe what she's singing is God saying. Yes. He's just singing it through her voice. If I was ever to sing, I'd sing through Pastor Rose's voice. God said, hey, Jim, you can have any voice that you want. I'd say, give me Pastor Rose. It may cause me some problems out in the workplace. But in church, man, I'd be rocking. I really would. So anyway. So I'm gonna read from verse 26 all the way down through verse 38. It said, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting was this. And then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, and here's where the prophetic word starts. And behold, everyone say with me, behold.
Behold.
It says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great. Wow, what an understatement. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end. Say, there will be no end. There won't. Paul says it this way in Philippians 1. He says, I'm confident in this very thing that he who began a good work will complete it. How you know he's going to finish? If he started. If you know he started a good work in your marriage or a good work in your family or a good work in your character, then no matter what happens, no matter how many times you trip up, you can get back up knowing that he will complete it. Amen. The faith to know that he will finish is the fact that he started. Amen. And I know God started a good work in me, and I know God has started a good work in all of you. It says there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, he's trying to boost her faith. So he's telling her about somebody else who got pregnant that would seem like an unlikely source. She didn't know that until this moment. Later on, she traveled to visit her, but God already spoke to her and says, now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, meaning that Elizabeth was barren, and now she's conceiving. And then it says this, I love this, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Say that with me. For God, nothing will be impossible. And then I love Mary's response. And can I tell you, this is the only appropriate response to any word that the Lord gives you. And then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. Say that with me. Let it be according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So this story is all about receiving the prophetic word of God. Meaning that a prophetic word will do, accomplish, what was stated. And we all know from reading the rest of our Bible that everything that he said happened in the life of Mary. And so if this is about, I want to teach in the context, it's about us receiving the word. Because too many times we allow our mind to talk us out of what God spoke to our hearts. Do you know when God, a prophetic word comes, it doesn't come to your mind. It comes to your heart. And what happens too many times is then we bring it up into our mind and we begin to reason, and we allow the naturalness of our thinking to undo the supernatural word that God has given us. So a really important thing to do at that time is keep it in your heart, because that's where God spoke it. Don't try to reason it. Don't try to overthink it, because the enemy's habitat is your mind. He has nothing to do with your heart, your spirit, because the King of Kings is there. So he goes in between your ears, and he talks us out of things that God wants to give every one of us. And so it's about receiving the word. The prophetic word of God brings Jesus to our hearts, but then we need to open up our hearts to hear that voice. Just believe it. So tonight's focus isn't on the means by which he speaks. In this context, it's the angel Gabriel, which would pretty much, you know, solidify my thinking. An angel appears to me and says something, you know, but it's not about the means of how God speaks. It's the fact that he does speak. He's speaking all the time. The question is, are we listening? Are our hearts open to hear what God wants to say? In this room right now, there are sounds. We can't hear them. But if we had a radio, there's a tuner inside the radio. And that tuner is able then to allow us to tune in the sounds that are already filled in this place. You can tune into a sports channel or a news channel. You know, you'll start hearing because of the tuner. And we as Christians, we have a tuner that allows us to tune in on what the Spirit, I mean, what God is saying. And that tuner is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will allow us to hear what God is already saying. Now, I told this story, and it's a story I heard from Bishop Joseph Garlington years ago, back in the early 80s. And I believe the legitimacy of this story. There was this lady, kind of like a Beth Moore, I don't remember her name, but she was someone who traveled and did women's conferences. And she was used to flying from city to city to city. She enjoyed flying. She wasn't afraid of flying. And she's sitting in the terminal just praying and going over her notes. And she hears the Holy Spirit speak to her, says, "Don't get on this plane." And immediately she brought the word from her heart up into her mind and began to reason with it, saying, "I've been on plenty of planes. You know, the planes, you know, air travel is safe." And so she decided that that was her own thinking and not the Lord's. But as she continued to pray and go over her notes, the Holy Spirit kept speaking to her again. Says, "Do not get on this plane." So finally, she decided not to. And she went up, and the person at the gate says, "Hey, this is the last call. Aren't you going to get on?" She says, "No, I think I'll take the next plane." And he said, "No." And she tried to argue with her, and she said, "No, I'm just not going to get on it." She was going to obey the Lord whether it was real or not. She just felt like she shouldn't get on the plane for whatever reason. Well, the plane had an accident. And not everybody died on the plane, but there were a lot of casualties in the landing when they landed in the next place. And so she was given that testimony. And somebody in the conference got a little indignant with her because she gave the testimony that God, because she heard God, she was able to preserve her life. And she didn't know why God was telling her not to get on. She was just obeying. And so this lady, very indignant, stood up and said to her, and rightfully so, because it's a question I would ask. And she says, "You mean to tell me that you're the only person that God thought enough of to keep from getting on that plane? You're the only person that he loved enough to keep from getting on that plane? You're the only person that he spoke to?" And she says, "No, I don't believe that at all." She says, "I believe he spoke to everybody. I'm the only one that heard." I'm telling you, God knows everything. And if we allow him, my own personal experience, as most of you know, I was in prison. And in the first year that I was there, there was this riot. I was in the gym when it broke out. And I won't go into all the details because it's a long story. And it was a race riot. It's 1973. And people just started beating one another, and I got out of the gym. I got knocked down. My lip got split open, and I was bloody. And I lived in C dorm, and I looked over at C dorm, and nobody. There was things happening in B dorm, and A dorm, and in D dorm, but there was nothing happening in C dorm. You know, it just looked like all the activity, all the violence was happening in these other places because that was the furthest dorm. So I decide I'm going to go to the safety of the thing. I mean, my reason said go to the C dorm. But as I'm walking, I hear the Spirit speak to me and says, "I want you to go back to the gym." I turned around, and at the gym, that's where the majority of the fighting is taking place. People are picking up weights and hitting one another. People are using baseball bats. So my reasoning told me that can't be God. So I continued to walk towards C dorm. God just about got there, and God again spoke to me. He says, "I want you to go back to the gym." And so I turned around. Violence was still happening. But as I obeyed the Lord, I trusted more in what he said than in what I saw. Remember, the faith don't walk by sight. I mean, we walk by faith and not by sight. And as I began to walk towards it, it seemed like everybody split up. The African Americans went to one place, and all the Caucasians started going into the gym, and I was the last one to get in there, and we were able to barricade ourselves until the riot was over. It was the worst riot in the history of this particular prison. The majority of the violence, 2 people died, 68 people got beat beyond recognition, and guess where it all happened? C dorm. That's where everybody converged on. I'm telling you, God speaks. The question is, are we listening? Are we hearing? Are we asking God? God not only uses angels, he uses prophets. There's been a lot of prophets that have come to this church. I've listened to the majority of the CDs. I think Hank Kinnaman was one of them. Gave some tremendous prophecies. But he not only speaks through prophets, he speaks through pastors. Pastors can have a prophetic word for you. It's in our license. We have to do it. It says, "Give people a prophetic word." No, it doesn't say any of that. But you can get a prophetic word through a friend. You know, it's a prophetic word. When I got out of prison, I went to Gainesville, Florida, because it was the only city that was young. I went there because of the Bible school. It was called Crossroads School of Ministry, and they were the only school that I applied to that accepted me. So I moved to Gainesville, Florida to go through this two-year school of ministry. My best friend, who's coming on Sunday, Jim Britnell, I had just gotten married a couple months earlier. I had been in prison for 8 years. By that time, they call you institutionalized. And you really are. I was taken out of prison, but I needed to have the prison taken out of me. Almost 8 out of every 10 people that get out of prison go back. And I don't think they go back because they're bad people. I think they're sincere. It's just tough to make the transition because it's a whole different way of life. I mean, I'd never been outside at night in the dark. And even though I knew I could be outside at night in the dark when I was out, I'd always go in as soon as it got dark. I just felt more secure being inside. And I could tell you a lot of things. But Jim knew that I was going to need a support system. He quit his job, moved his wife to Gainesville, Florida, got a job, started attending the church that I was attending to so he could be my support system. He knew that if he didn't have somebody like him in my life, that I wouldn't have made it. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't have. 3 weeks after I got out, I wanted to go back. It was just easier to live in prison. I knew all the ground rules. I knew how to function. In a free world, I didn't know how to be free. And he helped me. And God helped me. I interned as a youth pastor, and then they hired me as a youth pastor, and it was a big church, and the youth group went from 150 people in a year to 300 people, just senior high. And as a result of that success, I started getting invitations to go all around the country to help other youth groups to grow and teach dynamics, and I was doing that. I was a year and a half out of prison. I just came back from Boston, where I spoke to 3,000 young people at a conference. And I came back, and I'm flying back home, and I'm miserable. I can't explain why I'm miserable. I mean, I'm making a good salary. I have a secretary. I have success. I have the respect of my peers. I just came from one of the biggest conferences I ever spoke at in my life. They treated me like a rock star, stayed in the best hotel, you know, just flew first class up there and back. And I'm miserable, and I can't figure out why I'm miserable. I'm just not happy. I'm like, is this all there is? And so it got to me so much that within a couple of weeks, I'm so miserable that one Sunday morning, I don't even go to church. And I'm the youth pastor. I have a youth group, you know, that I have to minister to, and I just call up and I lie. I say, I'm sick. It really wasn't a lie. I was sick at heart, but I let them believe I was physically sick. Jim Britnell, who you're going to meet Sunday, noticed I wasn't in church. He drove out to where I was living, a condo. I'm laying in bed feeling sorry for myself. He came walking in, stuck his finger right in my face. I mean, this close to my face. He said, you'll never be happy till you get involved in prison ministry. And then he walked out. Almost bit that finger off. The last thing I wanted to hear was that. When I got out of prison, even though God helped me while I was there and we started a church, if I never saw another prison, it had been too soon. But there was something about it. There was a prophetic edge to it. And it just kept, because I knew what I was doing wasn't what God was wanting me to do, even though there was success. There wasn't a peace about it. So I told Jim a couple days later, I said, well, why don't we do this? Because I knew God spoke. I didn't know what was happening. So I said, let's call up the Work Release Center, where they work during the day and then they sleep there at night. and let's see if they'll allow us to do a Bible study. So he called it up and got it all fixed up, and we went out there. They gave a call for the Bible study. Three guys came out. Two didn't have a Bible. One had a Bible, and he didn't know where Genesis was. Someone must have just gave it to him. And so there was only three, and I sat down and I taught them, and the glory of God came on me. I mean, the joy of the Lord. I can't explain what I mean by that. And I knew what Jim had said was right. Next morning, I went in and gave my 2 weeks' notice. I called up a guard that used to guard me named Harvey Dunn. I said, listen, I'm coming back to Inverness. I want to try to do a Bible study at the prison I was at. I don't have any place to live. Can I live with you? And he said, yes. And so I went there. And history, I can't explain what happened. But within years, I was in almost every prison in the state of Florida. I got prospered. I was happy. But it was a prophetic word. God spoke. He used a friend. And it's not what I wanted to hear, but it's definitely what I needed to hear. Because when God speaks, he does it. But there is a price to be paid. We need to, as a people, learn how to recognize his voice. And you can. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. The key is to know his voice. And then you can follow him anywhere. It doesn't matter. I gave up a great salary. I gave up a great future to go down and live with a guard, laid sod for $30 a day so I could do this Bible study at Sumter Correctional Institution. When you obey the Lord, there's always a temporary loss to be followed by long-term gain. Everything I lost by obeying the Lord, I got back and then some, way more. But you got to hear the voice of the Lord. God's word comes to us for many purposes, to reveal himself to us, which is number one of the greatest things. Do you understand that it'll take eternity to know all the facets about Jesus? I mean, you know, he'll still be surprising us. He doesn't live in time, but if we were living in time, 10 million years from now, you know, we're going to discover something new about him that we never knew before. Because he's just that great. So it's to reveal himself, to impart truth, to guide, to correct, to comfort, to rebuke, to bring about repentance, to encourage, to save us, or to keep us from destruction. But the main reason he speaks, and I want you to hear that, is to give all of us a better future. His word today can make our tomorrows better. Say that with me. His word today can make our tomorrows better, but we've got to hear him. The Word, who was God, came from eternity into time and space by the angel Gabriel to a young girl who was betrothed to a man. He was sent, he was authorized by the Father, and he delivered an incomprehensible message. Meaning that if she tried to figure it out, it wouldn't have been able. It was incomprehensible. It was like recently I was asking Brother Charles Simpson a question because something happened and I couldn't figure out why it happened. And it was bugging me. So I called up Brother Charles. This was just 2 days ago. I said, Charles, I said, man, I need an answer. I said, you know, this thing's bugging me. I don't know why this happened. You know what he said to me? He said, son, it's above your pay grade. He says, just believe God loves you. He's going to do right by you. He says, you don't need to have the answers when you live for the answer. It'll all be made clear somewhere in the process. But he was sent. And that's very important. Don't ever send yourself. See, a lot of people do this. God saved me, but then I'm going to send myself. The same God that saves you is the one that will send you. Don't ever go until God sends you. Because immediately people think that saving and sending is simultaneous. And it is not. There are some situations, there are exceptions to the rule, where God will do something and immediately something happens. But you need to, the same God that saved you is going to start preparing you for the day where he can send you. And it's important that you allow him to prepare you. And where he wants to prepare you, and it isn't so much in your gifting as it is in your character. You may be, because when you get the Holy Spirit, you get some gifts. But if you don't allow him to prepare you, you know what eventually is going to happen. And we've seen it throughout all of Christianity. Somewhere in the process, your character begins to tear down everything your gift built up. Because you sent yourself. You didn't wait until he sent you. He authorized you to deliver the word. See, because this word wasn't Gabriel's idea. He wasn't sitting up in heaven and saying, hey, man, let's do something, God. And, you know, there's this dude, this chick down there named Mary. I think she's cool. Let's see something with her. God said, all right, whatever's in your heart, Gabe, do. Nah, it wasn't Gabriel's idea. It was God's idea. And so it's very important. God sends people to particular places and to particular people. He will. He'll send you. If you need a word, he'll send someone to you. But he'll probably not use the person that you think that he would use. More than one time, he's used my enemy. He sent my enemy to speak a word that would deliver me. And I almost didn't get the word because I didn't like the receptacle. Do you understand? You got to be open. God can. And the only reason why he sent your enemy, because he's the only one that had courage enough to tell you what you really needed to hear. All your Christian friends are being nice to you. Oh, you're okay, you know. Just read your Bible a little bit more, you know. Your enemy comes up and, you know, and gets all in your face and it's anointed, you know. His intentions are wrong. It doesn't matter about his intentions. God's intention was right. And if you can hear, God, you say thank you. Man. And you know one of the best things that will happen? In the process, that enemy becomes a friend. So two miracles happen. The message was specific, and we won't go into there. We read it, how specific it was that she was going to have a baby. Mary's response is one of a maim. How can this be since I've been with no man? She's trying to figure it out. And then the angel went on to say the Holy Spirit gave her an explanation. But I mean, this explanation to this girl still didn't make any sense to her. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you and come upon you. And, you know, she doesn't even know anything about the Holy Spirit. But she's knowing that something of God is happening in her midst. She knows that. And so when that, she decides, all right, I'm going to get it out of my head. I'm going to get it back into my heart. And then her response is, behold, your maidservant. Let it be to me according to your word. And this is very important. The angel brought the word. But it was the Holy Spirit that accomplished the word. I'll bring the word, but it's the Holy Spirit that will accomplish the word. Don't expect me to accomplish all the words that I speak. I promise you, I will not speak a word that hasn't already been accomplished in me. I am not going to give you theory. I am not going to give you theory. When God speaks and we deliver His word, we don't have to try to be the Holy Spirit to make it happen. That's where a lot of people get in trouble. They try to make happen what they said. And you can't do that. You just stay out of the equation. God performs His own word. The Bible says He watches over His word to perform it. Jesus was sent by the Father to deliver the message of God's kingdom. And as a result, it says, and you don't have to turn there, but John 20 and 21 says, as the Father has sent me, now I will send you. As He brought a message for me to be delivered to you, I'm now going to use you as messengers to bring a message to other people. So it's very, very important that we have ears to hear the message. And then very, very important, we allow God to guide us to the people that message is for. And then we have to have the courage to speak it. And so, how many of you realize that Jesus just didn't come to send us to church? He did, and we're in church, but now He wants to send the church to the world. Here we get prepared. We're called here so that we can be sent out there. And that's important that we understand that. I'm going to give you this in closing here, and don't let that fool you. It just means I got my second win. Let's turn to Hebrews 4:12. I'm going to give you four specific things that you can determine whether you heard a prophetic word or not. These are biblical ways to determine, is this really a word from God? So Hebrews 4, verse 12, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It says that this word is piercing, even to the division of soul and spirit. Now, for a long time, I didn't quite understand what that meant. That the Word of God, when it pierces you, it'll make a division. It divides something. It separates something. It separates the soul from the spirit. Meaning that it separates my will from His will. From what I want to what He wants. It separates us from self-awareness to God-awareness. That's what it means. It separates. Up until that time, you're aware of what you want and you're aware of what God wants, and that's where the battle is. But the prophetic word will clear that all up for you. It'll separate self-awareness to God-awareness. It'll separate self-centeredness to God-centeredness, where everything that you do and say isn't all about you. It's all about Him. From self-service to Christ service. It separates what we want in our soul from what God wants in our spirit. And how many know what He wants in His spirit affects our soul? One of the prayers that I started praying when I was in prison, because I've been such a selfish person all my life. It was all about me. If I could have made up a song, it would have been called, Gimme, Gimme, I, Me, Me, Mine. Everything I did, I had me. me, my welfare, my profit, me, all about me. And the Spirit came on me, and it separated. I started becoming more aware of God, and you've been hearing me teach on some. When you become more aware of God, when you get His heart, then all of a sudden you become more and more aware of others. You become other conscious, where you're cognizant of the needs of others more than you are of your own needs. And there's something in you that wants to pay the price to meet that need of somebody else, even if you have to sacrifice one of your own needs. That's what a prophetic word does. It divides. Then it says it gets down into our bones. And if you know anything about our bones, I won't go into a scientific lesson here for two reasons. Number one, I don't know what I'm talking about. But it gets down into your bones. It really does. And I started praying, Lord, make me a God conscious and others conscious. And I promise you, it just started happening. I just started becoming aware of everything around me, all the needs that are around me. And then I would say, all right, Lord, you show me. How can I meet that need? And the Lord would show me. I was reading the other day, out of Proverbs, it says, to the wise, God gives commands. And I was meeting with, I had made arrangements to have breakfast with somebody this morning. And I had read that the day before, and I said, Lord, I need some wisdom on how to deal with this situation. I want to be wise where this person is concerned. I want to help him move his life forward. I don't want to be religious with him. I don't want to quote scripture at him. But I need some wisdom, Lord. So please, give me a command. And the Lord says, okay, I command you to bring him a gift. I said, all right. Come on. I'm wanting more, you know. Yeah, all right. You know. And that's all God says. How many of you know God doesn't feel like he has to explain himself? You just got to trust him. So I didn't know what kind of gift to bring, and I'm racking my brain, you know, and I don't know a whole lot about this guy. How many of you know God knows everything about this person? I even called his wife up, tried to get some input from her, said I was commanded to bring a gift. What would really bless him? She said, I don't know. She wasn't any more help than God was. But last night before I went to bed, just as I was going to bed, God dropped in my spirit what I should bring. And I did. And it was the perfect thing for him. I mean, a cause I can't explain. But God knew. If we're aware, if we're other conscious, God aware, if we allow the prophetic word to divide soul from spirit, from what I want to what he wants, then not only are we blessed, but they're blessed. So that's the first indication that it divides. It makes you more aware of God and others than it does yourself. So you know that's a prophetic word. The second thing is this. And I don't know if you knew this. And anybody in here named Mary? Is there anybody, Mary? Besides, I know Mary downstairs, Uber. But the word Mary means bitter. Kind of takes away from the attractiveness of wanting to have that name. Man, I blew it when I called my daughter Mary, you know. But it really means bitter. And so, because there's a reason why it's bitter. When God gives a prophetic word, it comes out of our mouth so sweetly. But it will always bring some bitter consequences initially. I mean, for Jim, the word came so easy. You'll never be happy. Next day, I'm out of a job. I had a great salary. I had a secretary. I had a place to live. Now I'm living with a guard who used to aim his rifle at me. And I'm laying sod. And so a prophetic word will lead you to a temporary loss, only to be followed by long-term gain. And if you're not prepared for that, when the bitterness or the consequences of obeying God come in, then you can stop the journey to the path of prosperity that God has for you because it's not going. There's this myth in Christianity, if it's God, it's going to be easy. I don't know whoever came up with that. They need to shoot them. For God, it's easy. But for us working out, it can be a little bitter at times. And so all who speak the word will experience some bitter consequences. Paul the apostle did. John the apostle did. Jesus did. But don't be fooled by that. Just because it's bitter doesn't mean that it's going to get you it's not going to get you to a better place. And the only reason it's bitter is because it becomes bitter because you're wanting it to happen now magically. You want God to open up his little bag of glitter and of abundance and just pour it out all on you. Instead of having to go on the path that leads to righteousness that may lead through the valley of the shadow, you don't have to be fearful of it because God is with you. On the other side is a table prepared for your enemies, cup running over. But you got to go through the valley. So you know it's a prophetic word because there will be some temporary loss. But don't let the loss disqualify you for the word. The third thing is that the word sanctified Mary, meaning that it set her apart. It meant that she, in her situation, she kept herself from a physical relationship with her husband until Jesus was born. It sanctified her. It set her apart for a season. When you get a prophetic word, if you're going to obey it, it'll set you apart. It won't be business as usual. The word will make you, I'm not going to spend 2 hours tonight in front of the TV. I'm going to be in the Word. It begins to sanctify some areas of your life. It begins to separate, to set you apart so that you can obey what the Lord says. It's always sanctifying in nature. I mean, next day, after that word from Jim, I gave my 2 weeks notice. They were so mad at me, they said they didn't need 2 weeks. So I was immediately set apart. They couldn't believe that I would be willing to walk away from all this success, all because another convict came up and told me, and I told him what he had said. They couldn't believe it, but it set me apart. It wasn't business as usual. I went from behind a desk. I don't know if anybody's ever laid sod for a living. It's dirty, hard work. And I could tell you the rest of the story, how I got, within a month, hired as an associate pastor, and within a year was invited and went down to Orlando. And I could tell you the rest of the story, but I want to tell you that what I gained from obeying that word was a million times more than what I lost. You got to be willing to allow the word to set you apart, to sanctify something. See, the word overcomes us, and then we overcome the world. Until the word overcomes us, then we can't overcome the world. You understand that? It has to be an overcoming word for us before it becomes an overcoming word through us. You just can't speak victory if you're walking in failure. That word has first got to be resident. It's one of the things that Bob Mumford said, and I've said, and I've heard Pastor Terry say it a lot, and it's true. If it's not working at home, don't export it to the world. It's got to be working here. You can't, until it conquers here in your own heart, it won't conquer out there. So it'll set you apart. So it's, and fourth, how you know, is that the word overcomes the impossible. It will. In the story that we're talking about, man, this virgin had a baby. The word will do the impossible. Nothing's impossible for God. And that's what you got to remember, no matter what it looks like. No matter what it sounds like. Because there was plenty of time when I'm laying that sod saying, Lord, I was happier. Even though I was miserable, I was happier on that plane flying back from that conference than I am right now. But the Lord says, son, what I said will come to pass. You need to be like Mary. As your word is, let it be unto me. And it'll get you through all those days. And it'll overcome physical limitations. It'll overcome financial limitations. It'll overcome everything because it's an overcoming word. Faith is not reasonable. How many of you know that? Doesn't make sense. And it's not circumstantial. Your circumstances will eventually align up with your faith. But don't look to your circumstances to validify your faith. Allow your faith to somewhere along the line validify your circumstances. Because if you have faith, then your circumstances have to align with your faith. They have to. Because God spoke it. And you got to believe it. Pastor Terry and Pastor Michelle one time was living with Diane and I over in Ephrata. They were there for 3 months, and they had been a couple years, I don't know how many years, 2 or 3 years trying to have a child and could not have one. And Diane gave Pastor Michelle a prophetic word. She said, in 1 year, you will give birth to a baby. Guess what happened a year later? Almost on the very day, Shelby popped out. Can you say that? Can you say that in church? She popped out? I mean, yeah. I said it anyway. But God sent her. She knew it. Diane didn't sit there and try to reason it. She just spoke it. And it wasn't a word she had for everybody. God sent her, like the Gabriel angel, to Pastor Michelle to give her a word. And Pastor Michelle believed it. She believed it with all her heart. She believed her barren days were over the moment she got the word. The evidence didn't happen until 12 months later. Well, 9 months prior to that, because they probably, had a pregnancy test, stuff like that. I told you I'm not real good at science. I know it wasn't from drinking the water. I know that. Just teasing. It comes from the word comes from a sovereign God, which then enables us to do God things. I recently heard Pastor Terry say this in a message, and it's one of those things that when you hear it, you already know it, but he articulates it in a way that you know it better. You understand what I'm saying? It's a phrase. He said that Jesus became man so that man could become God.